This is a Zach Feldman Show replay on ZRadioLive.com.
The web music station Z Radio Live. This is the Zach Feldman Show. Joining me over the phone is a director. He has a brand new movie out called I Can't Breathe, God Forgive Them. It's Thomas Loresca. Thomas, thanks for joining me here on the Zach Feldman Show. How's everything going?
Thank you very much, Zach, for having me on. Everything's going great, thank God.
That's awesome.
And well, hope it is with you.
Yeah, thank you so much. Everything's going great over here, too. Tell me all about this brand new film. We got a chance to look at it. It's awesome.
Thank you.
It's a true story, but tell me all about it.
Okay, so it is based on my true experience of passing away. I had passed away for about 12 minutes, according to ambulance reports and police reports. And so it basically, you know, it deals with that. And so it was a really wild incident. And I know everybody has a hard time believing it when somebody tells them, you know, that they were dead. And I get that. Because when people used to tell me, I wouldn't believe it either. But, and I have the facts. I mean, I have the evidence. I've taken lie detector tests on it, all of this. And I just really want people to know, you know, how awesome that feeling was and what I experienced.
Well, you know, so tell me about, obviously, this is your first film you've ever created. What was the experience like, you know, on set and being part of that whole production?
I mean, that was really cool. I got to spend 10 days. They were working 12 hours a day. Sometimes we worked till 3 in the morning. Well, worked till 3 in the morning. I watched. and then, you know, the cast was great. Kevin Sorbo, you know, he's terrific. He's a great actor. But the other guys, you know, guys as hard as me, Shane Juhas, Robert Shepard, Bob Conley, Debbie Mills, just to name a few of them, they were tremendous. Because they realized that this wasn't just a movie. It was a real true story. It was about my life. And they really put their hearts into it. And I think that they did a great job. I really do.
So, you know, take us through kind of like, you know, the scripting process. Obviously, that's the longest process when it comes to a film. I mean, how long did it take you to kind of figure out the story aspect of this? Because obviously this is a true story. You know, there's so many different details about it, you know, you passing away and then kind of figuring out God at the end too. You know, I mean, tell me about kind of taking all those facts and putting them into a full story.
That wasn't easy. I'll be honest with you, because, you know, it also talks about when I was on Wall Street. I was there for many years, but the president was doing a scam. I turned him into the SEC. He went to jail. So that's in there. I had cancer. So that's in there. The depression that followed after that. There's a love interest. Actually, it's when I meet my wife right near the end. So, there's a lot that had to go into it. The script, it was originally 157 pages.
Oh, my God.
When I did everything. Yeah, and I started when I was a child, because I wanted to try to explain some of the things that had happened to my life that shaped me or whatever. And I went through a lot more detail. And when Kevin saw the script, Kevin Sorbo was extremely helpful with me. I mean, we must have emailed each other 100 times, but he said, listen, you got to cut it down to 100 pages. You know, nobody's going to sit there and watch a long movie. And I, you know, this is the first time me ever doing it. I never really dreamed of doing a movie. It was just, I wanted my story told. So I had to cut it down to 100 pages. And that was difficult. And then when it got to the director, he said, okay, now you got to cut it down to 60 pages. And so now that was, okay, well, you got to take this out, but then you got to still make it make sense. And my thing was, I wanted to keep it as true as possible. It took a while to get it done. But, you know, to me, it was actually like a healing process also, getting it all out and finally getting it out there. Really, it helped me to do it. So I'm glad I did it. But it was a lot of work. And just even having the movie made itself was not easy. I had trusted two other people beforehand, and they both wanted $25,000. They said they would do everything. And the sad part was they were both Christian, so I believed them being a Christian. And they both took my $25,000 and basically did nothing.
Oh, that's horrible.
That wasted years, you know, and it wasted years of me getting my story out. And I've really been working on it for a long time. And then luckily, well, not luckily, I believe by God, Kevin Sorbo saw the script and he loved it. And then from there, you know, we just worked things out until we got it done.
You know, Kevin Sorbo, obviously, for those who don't know who he is, he was on Key and Peele, he was on Psych. A bunch of different big things. Also, The Santa Suit was a big movie that came out recently. It's all on Amazon Prime. How did you get in contact?
Hercules, but God's Not Dead, I think that was his best.
Dead, yes, 100%.
Yeah, he played a bad guy in it. He was good.
Well, tell me about, you know, how you got connected with him.
So the second people that took my money, they said that they would guarantee me an A actor and they would fund the movie themselves. And they didn't do that, but they were at one of those shows, AM, I don't know what they, these things are. This is a new industry to me, so I don't know. Mm-hmm. But they came across Kevin, and they told him about my story, and they gave him the script, and Kevin loved it. Kevin actually wanted to act as me in it. He wanted to direct and produce it, but that was with more of a price tag than I could afford.
Yeah.
So when the people that said they were going to raise the money, they didn't raise it. Their contract expired, and they just took my $25,000. Well, I still had Kevin interested in it. So I had to now find out, okay, Kevin's interested in it, but I have no contact with Kevin. How am I going to do this? How do I, you know, proceed? Mm-hmm. And then I saw on LinkedIn he was there, but you don't know if people really are for real on LinkedIn, you know, these celebrities or whatever. And he had happened to mention that he was going to Jerusalem, and does anybody want to go, contact me. So I reached out to him, and I said, hey, is this really Kevin? You saw my script, you know, what's going on or with the money. He said, listen, those guys don't have the money. So I said, okay, if it's a matter of money, let me try to raise it. You know, I go, you know, I worked on Wall Street. Let's see if we can do this. Mm-hmm. And so we stayed back and forth, email and an email and, you know, and probably took us 2 years, you know, until I had the money. And then we had the people that would direct and produce it, you know, but, you know, he never gave up on me. He tried to help me, you know, do this or do that, get contact these people. And if I had any questions, he was always there. You know, I got to say, it was really helpful.
As someone who's also in the movie industry or, well, in the video industry too, you know, working on television and whatnot, you know, funding is the worst part when it comes to making a film because you feel like you're begging for people to give money to you, you know, and you don't want to be a beggar, you know.
No, that you don't. And you know what? I see what people are saying, that there is a lot of shady characters on in Hollywood. They gladly took my $25,000. One guy used it to make another movie. And then I found out that he had taken $1 million from other people, too, to film his own movie.
That's horrible.
Yeah. And, you know, this it's common. It's very common. So you have to be careful who you trust when you get, and, you know, they see that you really want something so bad that you're willing to do anything, and they take advantage of you.
Take the really producer's unfortunate route. Thing. Take the producer's route. Just swindle old ladies. That's what you should do.
Nah, yeah. I could never do that. I've got to put my head on a pillow and sleep nice. Nothing's worth selling your soul, man.
No, not at all. You know, tell me about also working in Wall Street for over 25 years. I mean, that's a huge accomplishment. First off, congratulations.
Thank you.
But obviously, you know, you worked through like the 80s era too, you know.
Yeah, the crash.
The craziness and everything else happening with there too. I mean, tell me about kind of the highlights a little bit about, you know, working in that area.
I mean, that was awesome. I mean, when I started out of college, I started at Drexel Burnham. They were probably the number one or two firm in the business, and it was great. I loved it. I worked there with my cousins, my brothers, my uncle, got everybody in my frat. It was just a great firm. And then one guy, Michael Milken, did something illegal in L.A., and he brought down 10,000 people with him.
It's crazy.
So it left me scrambling for a job. And, you know, I fortunately became a trader, and that worked out very well for me. You know, each year I did better and better. I also worked on the New York Stock Exchange. I mean, it was great. It really was. It was exciting. It was you know, when you walked in, there wasn't a 9-to-5. You could make as much money as possible one day. I mean, one day I walked out of there making $200,000 legally. You know, that's the main thing. But, you know, you always had that excitement. And to me, I played ball. I played baseball. I had my tryouts for Yankees and Mets. To me, this was exciting like that. The opening was like playing ball again. You had the adrenaline, and it was fun. I loved it. Until the computers honestly just took over trading. The algorithms just wiped us out. Computers can do the job of 100 people.
It's really also amazing how small that floor is, too. I had an opportunity to actually go on this New York Stock Exchange floor, and like it's so much smaller than it is on TV.
Yeah, well, I hope you went there a while ago when it was exciting and fun, because now it's...
Unfortunately, I went there when there was TV cameras and and computers everywhere and sets for different news networks to be there.
But yeah, it's a shame. It was a great place.
Yeah, it used to be a very poppin' place I know of.
Oh, yeah. It was the best place for business. It really was.
So, obviously, you went through the Wall Street business, you know, and then you had the unfortunate situation where you were dead for 12 minutes. I mean, take us through those 12 minutes.
Okay, so I want to take you right before the 12 minutes on my last breath. I knew it was over. I was scared. I knew I was dying. Then I was only in my 30s, and I didn't want to die. I felt like I had a lot of life to live. but I could hear two voices. I know that they were angels. I know it's hard to believe, but you have to understand with God, anything is possible. So I heard them say, just relax, be calm. And that really did relax me. They said it over and over until I did relax and I stopped fighting and I passed away. And then the next thing I remember after that last breath was getting hit with a gust of wind and I could breathe. And it was beautiful on the other side. Hmm. But I wasn't in my body because I could see I was up above my body, looking down on my body. They were checking my pulse, making sure that I was dead. And I was up about 20 feet watching. And then all of a sudden, I was in this room with everybody that I loved in my life, my family, close friends. And I was saying goodbye. And they knew I was going. Now, I don't know how it works. I know it's different with God in life with everybody. And I'm sure in death. Maybe he wanted to test me and see if I was willing to leave my family. I don't know. But they were hugging me and crying and saying goodbye. And it was sad. Mm. But I knew that this was it. I'm done. And then all of a sudden, I was in another room. And there was everybody, like the whoever did something wrong to me, whoever stole from me, cheated, whatever it is. And then I could feel anger well up. I'm mad. This is a room full of everybody I don't want to see.
No, not at all.
And all of a sudden, I hear this tranquil but powerful voice say, you must forgive them. And I was just like, what? And then I heard it again. You must forgive them. And I thought about it for a minute. The anger did calm down. And I knew that if I said I forgave them, then that was it. I had to forgive and I was going to heaven. So I said, I forgive them. I know, obviously, I didn't forgive them because some of these things were just done to me. And you can't just forgive somebody in a second. But I said, you know, I believe what I thought God wanted to hear so I could get to heaven.
That's
and
crazy.
And then all of a sudden, yeah, and then all of a sudden, I felt myself going up towards this bright light on an angle, like an escalator angle. But I'm not on an escalator, but I'm traveling up towards this big white light. And as I'm getting higher and closer, it's getting bigger and it's getting brighter, but my eyes aren't hurting. I know where I'm going. It's heaven. It's the foot of it. And now all of a sudden I think, oh my God, I'm going to heaven. But I'm thinking, I don't want to. I'm in my 30s. I just started a charity with Leonard Marshall. He used to be on the Giants. Mm-hmm. He worked with me on Wall Street. I just started a charity for single moms. And I felt like that was my calling in life. I was going to help single moms. I was going to do great things for this world. And I didn't want to die.
Yeah.
So I remember trying to fight against that pulling motion that was trying to take me up. And I was like trying to turn back and fight against that force. And then I could feel myself and see. It was as though I was in the bottom of an ocean, maybe 20, 30 feet below it, where you could look up and see the light and you could see the sun. And I felt like I had to swim and get up there to get the air. And once I got to the top, I could take breath. I came back to life in the ambulance. They put the oxygen mask on me and I was alive. And God, you know, I believe God sent me back either for two reasons, that I really wasn't forgiving them, or two, it's to spread his word and to tell people what death was like and not to be afraid of it, that it's peaceful, it's surreal, there is something after this life, and that's the whole most important message of everything is, you know, to give people hope, because I've seen it. It's real.
So do you, obviously this is a dark thing to ask, but do you feel like, you know, do you feel like you were supposed to die?
No.
No, not at
no,
all.
No. I felt that God always had plans for me. And at the time I thought it was charities. I've tried just on other charities, single moms.
Yeah.
But I'm convinced that it's so that I can tell people what death is like, not to be afraid, and that there is God. And I think that's the most important thing in the world, is for people to know, hey, listen, there's more to life than this. You know, whatever it is you're going through, have hope, because, you know, one day, listen, everybody's going to die. You know, whether we're not escaping that. And to know that, hey, don't worry about it. You're going to a great place. There is something after this. And I just want to encourage people that then to know it for real. And that's it.
How much is it of a religion, though, do you think? You know, death and trying to believe in, you know, what's happened here, you know?
Oh, I would say nothing to do with religion. Mm-hmm. Taking my last breath and it's monitored on the, you know, with the ambulance and the police, I was dead. And if I didn't believe at all and have faith, well, maybe where I was going to wouldn't have been so great. So mm-hmm. I believe my religion, definitely my belief in God has determined which way I will be going.
Mm-hmm.
But no, this was an experience where if I believed or I didn't believe, I know I was dead. The ambulance proves I was dead. I was dead.
That's
crazy.
That's
a fact.
And obviously not trying to give away a lot of the movie, obviously, because I want people to go check it out. Again, it's called mm-hmm. I Can't Breathe, God Forgive Them. It's on Amazon Prime. You know, do you have any regret against those who, you know, who caused this?
No, not really. I honestly forgave them. Listen, I worked on Wall Street for many years, and there's bad and good on Wall Street. 99% of them are good. So the people who did this to me, you know, there's some of the bad people. There's bad people out there. But no, I've forgiven them. I don't wish any. I just want them to finally be questioned and finally tell the truth. That's it. I don't want no trouble for them. I just want them to admit so people can say, hey, he really was dead. I had lawyers trying to question him, and they were never able to question him. That's what led to the movie, because I just want this out there. I want my story out there so people can know, hey, this guy, hey, let's listen to him. He's really telling them this guy was dead. It's proven, man.
Mm-hmm.
So if he's saying, and he has the proof, and he's saying not to fear it, you know, hopefully that will help people. But
definitely will, you know, because I mean, for me, I mean, I'm always scared of death. You know, I'm always scared of going to the other side. You know, I mean, but to know that there's maybe there's something else out there. I mean, that
no, there is
definitely relieving.
Yeah, you know what? Many people have told me that, and it's another guy too. He got back to me, and he's like, "Man, I was scared to death of death." And he's like, "You know, it really helped me. This is really some deep stuff that you talk." Yeah, listen, anybody's going to be scared of death if you don't know, if you think this is the end, but it's not. It's not the end.
Well, now the movie's out. You know, it's called I Can't Breathe, God Forgive Them. It's on Amazon Prime. But you wrote a book before this. Tell us about that.
It's called I Want to Help. And it's basically, that's what it was about. I wanted people to know what death was like. And it also talks about me going through cancer and depression that followed after all the chemo and the surgeries because of the cancer. And I just thought that maybe, you know, the things that helped me get through with what I went through could help people. And, you know, it talks about the after death. But I wrote it in one night, late at night. I couldn't sleep. I'm like, I got to get this off my chest. And I think I did it more for closure to get it off. And I thought it would really help me. But there was no marketing behind it or anything. And 25 pages, I guess, you know, really didn't do much. It had a couple of write-ups here and there. Mm-hmm. But when that didn't work, you know, I kind of gave up again. And then I saw a movie, Heaven Is For Real. And then that's when I decided, hey, maybe, you know, let's go to movie route, because my story has a lot of interesting things in it. Not just, you know, the after death, but Wall Street. You know, there's a lot of, especially that has to do with the police, which is a hot topic. I thought that maybe I should try that anyway to get my story out. So I sent my synopsis to four script writers in L.A. and they all wanted to write it. And then, you know, years later, you finally got done.
That's awesome. And, you know, it's a good thing you went that route, because you won, you were a finalist in the Best Feature Film category at the International Christian Film and Music Festival, too, this year. Tell us about, you know, that feeling, too, when you found out that, you know, your life story now has an award attached to it.
Yeah, I mean, it's honestly pretty cool, because we've won two film festivals, but this one is the big one. This was the International Film Festival. It's going to be, we're in a finalist, which is cool. And, you know, that's a great accomplishment, but it'll be the 3rd of May. They'll be picking the winner and hoping that we win, whether we do or not. You know, it's still an honor to be picked as a finalist. So, you know, with the awards, it says that people do like it. It also has 11 awards that it has won. So people have said that they do like it. And some people have said that it's helped them in their life. Which, you know, listen, if it helps one person, awesome.
Well, Thomas, seriously, good luck with your charity. I mean, I hope, I can't wait for it to do even more good. And I can't wait for people to also check out the movie, too. For those who want to check out the movie, I Can't Breathe, God Forgive Them, where else can they go?
You can get it on Apple TV, just picked it up. Tubi, T-U-B-I. They can, and Indie Rights Review just picked it up. About 3 weeks ago, it's got 35,000 views on there. So yeah, there's a bunch of places you can get it in Best Buy, Walmart, you know. But listen, to me, you can rent it on Amazon Prime for a dollar, just for the cast alone. Kevin Sorbo, My Story. If you don't like it, I'll give you the dollar back. I think it's entertaining. I think it's worth the dollar. I might be prejudiced, but I've spent a dollar on worse things.
He said it here. If you don't like it, you can get a dollar.
Yeah, absolutely. I'll send it back.
Only kidding, obviously. Thomas, no, thank you so much for joining me here on the Zach Feldman Show. Again, the movie's called Can't Breathe. God Forgive Them. You can find it on Amazon Prime. Thomas, thanks again for joining me here on the Zach Feldman Show, and best of luck with everything.
Thank you so much, Zach. It was a pleasure, and I really appreciated it.
Want to hear more? Listen to the Zach Feldman Show every Wednesday at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on ZRadioLive.com.